Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the local area, the mid-coast of California. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us tonight one of my favorite guests, and I'm sure one of your favorite guests too, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And I've known Russell for 20 years or more. He used to be a neurosurgeon in Jackson, Mississippi, practiced there for many years, a leader in the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, a spokesman for the cause of freedom. And then, of course, as he moved towards retirement, he began to become more and more interested in research and trying to find out the truth about so many of the things that are happening in medicine today. Well, he's written a wonderful book, and if you haven't read it, you should. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and we've sold literally hundreds of those through Radio Liberty. We carry his other book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients and Excitotoxins, the Taste That Kills, but the Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life has a section on fluoride and on aspartame, which is NutraSweet, and on mercury and vaccination, and just on general nutrition and so many things that the average doctor really has never been schooled in that you need to know about how to maintain your health. Russell, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Dr.
Well, I'll talk a little bit. You've done an interesting treatise. It's up on the Internet. About this secret meeting that the government had dealing with the mercury and mercury products, and they're certainly frightened to death that the American people are going to find out that they put that thimerosal in the vaccines and left it there, knowing full well it was toxic to the brains. And would you like to talk a little bit about that? I think you've got the secret hearings, or at least a transcript of the hearings from one of the congressmen.
Yes, I had the full report, which is some 270 pages.
Now, why would a government committee hold a secret hearing?
Well, this was interesting. Just prior to that, they held a secret meeting on aluminum toxicity, and that was because of aluminum being used in vaccinations as an immune adjuvant. That meeting was kept secret as well, and then in June 7th through 8th in the year 2000, at the Simpsonwood retreat at Norcross, Georgia, they had this other meeting, and it was kept secret, just as if you would be attending a CIA eyes-only top-secret conference. And throughout the conference, they mentioned that this material is to be closely guarded. All the pages are stamped, top-secret, not to be released.
Top-secret? This has to do with health matters.
Sure.
Are we afraid the communists are going to find out, or Osama bin Laden? Who are they trying to keep it secret from?
Well, they're trying to keep it from the public, and they make that statement throughout the conference that what they're afraid of is that the general public will hear this, that those who are concerned about vaccines will hear about it, and this will become a major issue. So they wanted this information closely guarded. When you read the information, you see why they want it so closely guarded.
All right. Well, we're going to have to just take a little break here. But when we get back, we'll certainly want to go into what they're hiding from the American people. Now, this has to involve people at the highest echelons, certainly of our government, and government employees, and I'm sure it probably has people from the CDC and NIH, but I'm going to let Russell tell you who was there and what they're trying to hide from the American people. Because my concern is they've been poisoning our children, and they've known it, and they've done nothing to stop it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he was able to get from Congressman Weldon a copy of this top-secret investigation or sort of a seminar on mercury back in the year 2000. Now, they have, as you may well know, they've taken the thimerosal out of the childhood vaccines. But what they haven't told you is they haven't taken it out of the influenza vaccine. In fact, just this evening I was reading a statement that said, boy, you better hurry up and get your influenza vaccine. We've only got two more weeks before the influenza season ends, so you better get your vaccine right away. And yet it's going to take a couple of weeks before, you know, the influenza vaccine will kick in and begin to give you immunity. So why are they so anxious to get everybody to get their vaccine as the influenza season ends? And with such a shortage of vaccine, we've had so little serious influenza this year. Well, we'll get to all of these questions a little bit later, but I'll let Dr. Blaylock pick up and go on with this story that he's been telling you about, this top-secret meeting. And, of course, every page was stamped, top-secret, the information is not to get out. And they weren't keeping it from Osama bin Laden, believe me, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Russell.
Well, this was a very large assembly. It had 51 scientists that were supposedly experts in all these areas, but we found out that actually they generally knew very little about mercury exposure through vaccines. They had physicians who represented the vaccine manufacturers. There were five manufacturing companies there: SmithKline, Beecham, Merck, Wyeth, North American Vaccine, and Adventist Pasteur were all represented, the CDC, the FDA, and even the World Health Organization had a representative there. So it's a very important collection of government officials, pharmaceutical manufacturers of vaccines, and 51 scientists, of course, some of who work with either the CDC, the FDA, or the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And what they were putting together was based on a scientific review of material that is collected by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And this information is based on vaccine reactions collected from all over the country. It's called the Vaccine Safety Data Link. And one of the scientists had studied this. It's a very intense study that was done to see if there was any relationship between exposure to mercury in the vaccines and developmental delays in children. And what they discovered was that there was about a 248% increase.
Hold that off right there. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he was saying that there were about 50, 55 scientists there, some of them from the CDC and NIH and from the drug companies, and one of them had really studied very, very carefully the government documents dealing with the problems that would result from the mercury in the vaccines, and they had found that there was a... What was the percentage difference?
About a 248% increase incidence of autism, language delays, and behavioral problems associated with these vaccines. And they found the higher the dose of the mercury, the worse these problems were. Now, this was even considering the fact that they excluded the children who were at greatest risk. Still, they found this enormous increase in these developmental problems in these children, particularly in language development and cognitive function, the ability of these children to think.
Now, are you describing autism, or you're describing this whole spectrum of brain toxic reactions to mercury?
Right. This is everything from autism, ADD, ADHD, behavioral problems, neurodevelopmental language problems, and they found all of these were increased, and it was dose related. That is, the more mercury, the worse problem. And the problem we have with vaccinations, when you have a vaccine, you have a series of vaccines, not just one vaccine. You're having four and five different vaccines, including your boosters. And so by the time a child goes to school, it's had some 22 or 23 vaccines. Well, that's 22 or 23 doses of mercury with each injection until they recently that they removed it. Now, the claim of removing the mercury, the FDA is taking the word of the pharmaceutical companies. They're not examining the vaccines to see if it was indeed removed. It's purely based on their word. And we've seen that in the past, these vaccine companies have lied. For instance, when they denied that there was any squalene in the anthrax vaccine, and then when finally the FDA did test the vaccines, they found indeed they contained squalene. So they're trusting them, and I don't think they deserve their trust. But this study was just examined every way you can examine it by this committee of 51 scientists, and at the end of the conference, they asked the scientists, was this evidence sufficient that we should continue more studies and perhaps to remove this mercury from the vaccine? Almost to the man, they agreed that this study was real, that it showed a definite problem of serious consequence. They even made this statement, this was the most important thing we've ever studied. And so they recognized the seriousness of it. During the conference, a couple of the conferees even had the audacity to say, for instance, one of them said, well, last night my daughter gave birth to our first grandchild, a male grandchild, and I'd be darned if I'm going to let them have a vaccine with mercury in it until we find out what's going on here. So for his own grandchild, he didn't want that child getting a mercury-containing vaccine. Later, one of the other scientists, who was a neurodevelopmental scientist, made this statement. They were talking about the loss of IQ points associated with the mercury contamination. And her comment was, well, it may be one IQ point, but I'm going to fight you if this is my child or my grandchild over that IQ point.
But so, the thing that after that, Russell, when they knew that the mercury and the thimerosal and the vaccines, childhood vaccines, was toxic, they didn't pull them off the market. They left them there, and of course, they just sort of, well, use them up when you get a chance to, but we're not going to pull them off the market, because if we pull them off the market, that would suggest we thought there was something wrong. So they allowed them to continue giving this poisonous vaccine to our kids. How could they justify that?
Well, this is exactly what happened, and it was not only endorsed by the FDA, but also by the American Academy of Family Practice, by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Both said the same thing. Well, continue to give the mercury-containing vaccines and to use it all up. And, of course, the companies continued to do it. Well, reviewers looked at it and said, well, you've given up your stocks long ago, and you're still giving mercury-containing vaccines. So they were making new stocks with mercury in it, giving it to children, millions of children, even though all these scientists agreed that this was causing damage to the developing brain in these unfortunate children. I called it a contaminant. It's not a contaminant because they put it in there purposely. And they knew that these children were getting doses of mercury that were almost 100 times the dose that was recognized by the FDA and the EPA as being tolerable. And, of course, these being small babies with developing brains, that dose is infinitely more toxic than an adult dose. So they all knew what they were doing. Now, the real shocker of this was, after the conference was over, they all agreed the paper was accurate, that it did show the relationship. You expected that it was going to be published in a major scientific journal and the public would learn about it. The media would pick the story up. Didn't happen. What happened is that they rewrote the paper, included bogus data, so that the paper would read that there was no problem. And it was published in the journal Pediatrics almost 4 years after the conference. And so that when it came out in the Pediatrics Journal and said they found no relationship between mercury and vaccines and any neurodevelopmental problems in children.
And that's why, of course, all of our pediatricians say, well, this has all been studied. There's just no relationship. This is all hysteria. So they simply lied to the pediatricians all across America so that they would reassure the people there was nothing to worry about.
Exactly. And the other interesting thing about it is the author of the paper, when he put his affiliations in the article, it was that he worked for the CDC, which was not true. At the time, he did not work for the CDC. He worked for one of the largest vaccine manufacturers, one of which was being sued over the mercury damaging the children. So it was a deception. There was no notification by the journal to the reading public and the reading scientists that he had a conflict of interest, that he's defending the pharmaceutical company. He was pretending to work for the Center for Disease Control. So this is the sort of thing that happened. We have a secret conference that all the countries agreed that this was a real damaging effect by this mercury, and then the results of the study were changed, covered up, and presented to the public and the news media as showing there was no danger whatsoever from mercury-containing vaccines.
Well, now, you actually have a copy of the report because one of the congressmen was able to get it to you. You've written this up in some detail. Where can people go on the Internet and find your analysis of the what you've just said now?
Well, there's several places. You can find it on Mercola.com's website. You can find it on the World Natural Health Organization website. And you can find the actual report itself. If you want to read it yourself, you can get it from www.safeminds.org. They have the complete report, so you can look at it and read my paper and see if all that is accurate, because I give you the page number of everything I use.
Now,
I
also that's www.safeminds.org.
Right.
Or Mercola, MERCOLA.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need, if you're out there in the listening audience, you need to check the facts. I mean, I know they're accurate because I know Dr. Blaylock and I've read this material, but you need to find out if it's true. And then you need to get to your doctor and point out that they're lying to him and he's been deceiving his patients, especially the pediatricians. They're good people. They love children. And yet they've been damaging them and destroying their minds. And if you look and see the accomplishment, if you take the academic tests that have been done, comparing academic achievement in the United States and academic achievement throughout the rest of the world, our fourth graders do terribly, our eighth graders do worse, and our seniors cannot compete. And we have the article off the Internet that basically came off of that. Why? Well, everybody says, oh, it's just the way we educate our children, and that certainly it plays a part in it. But how much of it is the damage to the brains of our children through the vaccines and, of course, the other things we talk about here so frequently, the fluoride and the NutraSweet? They know all of these things are neurotoxic. NutraSweet is methanol. Methanol is a deadly poison. People go blind from it. It's aspartic acid. It's phenylalanine. Those are the three things in aspartame and NutraSweet. And they know they're neurotoxic. And every time the child picks up a Diet Coke or a Diet Pepsi, why, they're getting a real good, a swift dose of all of these things. Well, I don't want to interrupt here, Russell, but I think it's so important people understand. They're damaging the brains of our children. You could not do this unintentionally. Somebody knows what's going on, and especially when they're doing everything they can to have parents take their children down, six-month-old children, to get those vaccine shots, because you can get them right now, your influenza vaccine shot, but they don't tell you there's a toxic dose of thimerosal in it.
Well, they don't tell you that 87% of the time the virus used to make the flu vaccine is not even the correct virus. And almost always, it's 70 and 80% of the time it's the wrong virus.
And have you noticed how much less influenza there's been this influenza season since we didn't have enough vaccine to go around?
Right.
So it makes you wonder what this is really all about. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're going to be exploring some more of these things. But I think this is one of the most important issues. I mean, if you get Dr. Blaylock's material, you pull down the entire report off the Internet, and we probably will put this into a syllabus. We think it's so vitally important that you have the material, you get to your doctor and say, why are you poisoning my children? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and Dr. Blaylock's analysis of this report, this 240 page or so report, is really masterful, and you really want to have the report, you want to get his analysis, you want to get the information, and then you want to take it to your doctor and say, would you do anything to hurt the children? And most doctors would be horrified. And yet, of course, if they don't know the truth and they believe what they read in the pediatric journals or in the other government reports, why, of course, they become complicit in what's transpiring. What sort of response have you gotten to your analysis? Because I know it's been all over the Internet.
Well, it's really been quite overwhelming. I've gotten calls from England and Scotland and Australia and New Zealand, all over the United States. People are just shocked by this. You know, it appeared in Nexus magazine, and people are really shocked when they actually read the words of these people, because it was never meant to be released, and they were just lying to the public and lying to the media. Now, the media has access to the same information I have, but there's been no stories coming out. You know, when they did the phony Denmark study in which they said there was no relationship to the MMR vaccine and autism, they put this report out. The media gobbled it up. It was on the front page of every newspaper. It was announced over the radio and television news as the final word. They said that, and that was their words. This was the final study. We don't need any more studies. This is definitive. A follow-up study using the very same data that was used in the Denmark study. They went back and looked at the same study, but they didn't limit the age. And that was the secret of how they was able to manipulate the original study. When they didn't limit the age, they found out there was almost a 400% increase in autism since the MMR vaccine was introduced in Denmark. In the United States, it's been a 600% increase. You know, when the studies come out showing that the previous study was a lie and was fixed to give false information, the media doesn't pick up the story. It just remains silent. Now, Dr. Geyer looked at the same information that was examined in this Simpsonwood conference. He looked at it, the very same CDC data, and he found an enormously powerful relationship to thimerosal, even more so than the study that was discussed in the Simpsonwood conference. Yet the media has not picked up on this. The Institute of Medicine has even come out and saying, well, you know, there is a relationship between mercury and neurodevelopmental problems. A number of new studies have shown a strong correlation between certain genetic influences and sensitivity to mercury and brain damage, which would explain why some children are much more susceptible to this than others. None of this is reaching the media. As you say, the physician doesn't read these things. He doesn't go to the literature and look it up. He believes what the American Academy of Pediatrics says, or the American Academy of Family Practice. And that's who they're trusting. Well, the American Academies are going to the CDC and these conferences, and they're believing what's being told. And, of course, a lot of the people on the vaccine committee of the American Academy of Family Practice and Pediatrics are on the payroll, are receiving remunerative rewards from the vaccine manufacturer.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And if you haven't read his report, it's up on www.safeminds. Is it Safe Minds, S-A-F-E, Minds, is that right?
That's correct.
Safeminds.org. Both his remarks and, of course, the original secret report that the government put out. And let's talk just a moment about the vaccines, the influenza vaccines, because they have had the great propaganda campaign to get older people and young children, 6 months of age, to take this vaccine, the influenza vaccine. But as Dr. Blaylock has pointed out, 87% of the time, they use the wrong organism for the vaccine. In other words, it really doesn't do you any good because you're not getting an immunity to the right virus. So it's all a guess. They have to manufacture many months before the influenza season comes around. They don't know what the virus is going to be. They usually choose the wrong one, but you don't have to worry. All of the shots have toxic doses of mercury in them. Would you like to tell us a little bit about some of the studies that show the toxicity of the thimerosal in influenza vaccine?
Yes. What we know is mercury is one of the most versatile and potent of the toxins to all cells in the body, but particularly the heart and the brain is very toxic. And the developing brain, that is the child's brain, the infant's brain, is infinitely more sensitive to this toxicity. And what it does is it poisons various enzymes that the cells need to function. In the brain, it poisons what's called the neurotubule, which is absolutely essential to brain function. And it does this at very, very small concentrations. And there's a system in the brain to protect you against excitotoxicity, where the brain cells and connections are destroyed. Mercury greatly, greatly magnifies that at doses that are just infinitesimal. Now, one of the problems is the brain absorbs and stores mercury, and that's because mercury is fat soluble. So the brain stores a lot more mercury than other organs, and it does so for a lifetime. So when you're injecting these children or these elderly or anyone with a vaccine containing thimerosal, each dose is stored in the brain, and it begins to accumulate and concentrate, and then they begin to have difficulties. It can be anything from subtle things like cloudy thinking, difficulty finding words, hard putting sentences together, memory problems, behavioral problems, agitation. Even suicide is associated with mercury, increased rates of suicide. All of these things are known to be associated with these small doses of mercury. And the child is going to have terrible learning problems. Behavioral problems are associated with it. And we know all of these things. Now, one of the adults, one of the most shocking studies that just come out, was that adults in age 50 and above who take the flu vaccine either three or four times over a five-year period increase their risk of developing Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. Absolutely shocking.
And that is, of course, Dr. Fudenberg's work, Fudenberg. First time I heard Russell mention that, I called him and said, Russell, I've got to see that. I mean, this is so unbelievable. I mean, how could you possibly give something when you know it's going to increase the incidence of Alzheimer's disease? And so many elderly people are coming down with this. And Russell was good enough to guide me on the Internet to Dr. Fudenberg's site. We have that. It's there. We offer that to our listeners. If you'd like a copy of the abstract of the article from Dr. Fudenberg's site, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the Fudenberg or the Alzheimer study, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of the abstract. And then you can go to the website and find it yourself. And then you can tell others about this information. You see, we're going to have to get the information out on our own, because you're not going to get it out through regular channels. Can you imagine the lawsuits that would come down the line to the drug companies that have knowingly been using this? And, of course, this is produced by Eli Lilly, the thimerosal. They don't produce the vaccines. They produce the thimerosal that they put in the vaccines. In fact, when they passed the Homeland Security Act in the middle of the night, by the stealth, probably by candlelight, they actually, well, I don't know if it's by candlelight or not, but they put in a specific provision that said, under no circumstances can Eli Lilly ever be sued for the thimerosal. And when, of course, the public found out what had happened, they were furious, and they had to pull that out of the office of the Homeland Security bill. Why did they put it in there? Because they thought they could sneak it through. You see, everything is deceit, everything is deception. And unfortunately, this goes, well, in this instance, the various highest levels of our federal government. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And if you'd like to give us a call for our listeners up there in the Great Northwest, it's our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And this is really one of the most incredible stories. It would be simply, you know, you could say, well, this was just by chance. And yet, of course, as you read the papers and you find out, they're so concerned about the mercury in swordfish or in tuna fish. And pregnant women shouldn't be eating swordfish or tuna fish. Why? They have to protect their child from the terrible toxic effects of mercury. But until very recently, why, in the nursery, when the child was less than a day old, they were giving them a shot of their hepatitis B shot with toxic doses of mercury in it, and they knew what was going on, and they did everything to cover this up. And eventually, they have said that they've taken most of the thimerosal out, haven't they? Even though they used up all the supplies, and what are they doing as far as the rest of the world is concerned? What about children in Africa and third world countries where we're providing free vaccines for them? Have they taken the toxic doses of mercury out of those vaccines?
Well, there's no word. And number one, you know, is that the FDA is trusting the word of the pharmaceutical companies because they don't test the vaccine to see if they truly took it out. And even in the PDR, that they will claim there's a trace amount of mercury still in the vaccine. So they haven't taking the mercury out. Now, there's no reason for mercury being in a trace amount unless they put it there. Mercury is not naturally found in a vaccine unless you add it. So the very fact they're still saying that there's a trace of mercury in their vaccine means they're still putting it in there on purpose. Now, this hepatitis B vaccine, another interesting statistic, is a recent study found that people who take the hepatitis B vaccine have a 300% increased incidence of developing multiple sclerosis within 3 years of having had the vaccine. So this is a major disease. Now, how can you justify vaccinating a person whose risk of hepatitis is nil and giving them a disease like multiple sclerosis is just indefensible? And yet that's what's happening. Now, what's going to happen to these tens of millions of children who were vaccinated at birth with hepatitis B? What is going to happen to them when they're 30 years old, 20 years old? How many will develop multiple sclerosis or some other terrible autoimmune disease? Well, we don't know. We have to sit and wait for another decade or two decades to see what's going to happen. And this is the sort of thing that we're up against. They're doing things to the mass of the population which they knew from the beginning was hazardous.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock, author of a book which, if you don't have, you should. It's called A Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And Dr. Blaylock is simply pointing out that they have found out now, actually the studies, that if you take your hepatitis B vaccine, and they've been giving these to adults, a few years down the line, your chance of getting multiple sclerosis triples. In other words, they get a 300% increase in people who've had the hepatitis B vaccine from those who don't take it. Now, that what is it going to do to the children? Because literally tens of millions of American children were given hepatitis B vaccine with absolutely no risk of getting the disease. The only way this disease is spread is by blood contact from an infected mother to her child, or certainly by intravenous needles, sexual contact, you can get it. But this is not a disease that children are going to get, you know, prior to adolescence, and it's not a disease that they're going to get simply by walking up and down the street. So this is a massive experiment. Now, there's a real problem in China, where there were over 700 million people that had evidence that they'd had a hepatitis B vaccine. 100 million had active disease. Probably, we don't know for certain, but we think that they just used dirty needles, and that's how they spread this disease so massively. So in certain Asian countries and in Asians, why, this is a real problem. But for the average American, it is a non-problem, and yet they've insisted on actually vaccinating all of the children, and they were doing this for many years. And, of course, with a vaccine without a known track record and containing toxic doses of thimerosal, and Dr. Blaylock has asked the questions, what's going to happen to these children down the line?
Well, it's interesting also that the United States has the lowest incidence of hepatitis B of any country in the world. Yet we're treating it like the United States is under this terrible epidemic of hepatitis B. And you're exposing every child in America to a hepatitis B vaccine complications to eradicate a disease that is the lowest in the world. Now, studies have shown that there are six times more deaths from the vaccine than there is from the disease itself.
Well, from the disease itself or even the number of cases reported?
Right. Six times more people will die from the vaccine than will die if they get the infection.
Right.
So, you know, how can you justify it? There's no justification. And even today, if your child is born in a hospital, they give them the choice. You can opt out of the hepatitis B vaccine, but it's still offered. So the mothers don't know any better. The fathers don't know any better. So they say, well, sure, I want him protected. Go ahead and give the vaccine. They don't know what they have exposed their child to. And it could ruin that child's entire life. Once this vaccine's injected, there's no taking it back. And that's the frightening thing about it. Now, what we've learned is that it's the immune adjuvant that's the most dangerous part of the vaccine, not the virus that's in it, not the antigen that's in it. It's what's added to it to boost the vaccine's immune-stimulating power, and that's called an adjuvant. Now, they add things like alum, which is aluminum. They add things like squalene, which is a fat. They'll add even mercury can be an immune stimulant. So they add these things to the vaccine to make it react more intensely. But the problem is it stays in the body. Aluminum is a direct brain toxin. It accumulates in the brain. And we know that you can inject the aluminum adjuvants in humans and animals and produce terrible diseases like Lou Gehrig disease. You can produce terrible encephalitis, multiple sclerosis. All of these terrible neurological diseases you can produce by injecting these immune adjuvants. Now, these kids are getting so many of these injections, 22 injections of immune adjuvants, and it is destroying their brain. I've written a paper in which I reviewed all the pertinent scientific medical literature, absolutely proving beyond a doubt that this over-vaccination is what is causing damage to these children's brain. And like I said, it can be subtle things like a behavioral problem. The kid may be suicidal, may be chronically depressed, may be agitated, having trouble sleeping. They may have learning problems, language problems, full-blown autism, ADD, ADHD. All this can be produced by overstimulating the brain's immune system. The final effect depends on a lot of different things: the child's nutrition, the genetics, when the vaccine was given, how many were given, how close together they were given, and that's why you see all these different patterns of brain damage rather than just a single pattern. Unfortunately, pediatricians know nothing about this. In medical school, you're exposed to very little immunology. In medical training, you get almost no exposure to immunology and the science of immunology. So they're trusting someone else to tell them the truth. And those people are not telling them the truth. And that's the problem. And these children and the adults are having things done to them that is irreversible and very dangerous. There's a whole new disease that is appearing related to these immune adjuvants, particularly aluminum. It was first recognized in France, and they've collected over 200 cases. Many of these are just like full-blown multiple sclerosis. We see blindness, paralysis, all of the things that you see with multiple sclerosis, we're seeing as reactions to these aluminum-containing immune reactions. Now, almost all vaccines contain aluminum adjuvants, and we're getting more and more of them. It's stored in the tissue, so it continues to produce the immune reaction, and they've measured it as long as a year or 2 years after the injection. So it's constantly stimulating the brain, producing this damage, and that's what it's causing. Now, recently, there's a brand new study came out on autism, which has proven this. And they found in every case of autistic brain that they examined, chronic brain overstimulation of the immune system. In every case. And this is why, because of these vaccines, or there's too many. They're putting adjuvants in them that overstimulate brain immunity and do so for years. And that's what we're seeing the results of that.
Well, let's go to Bruce, who's calling in from Spokane, has been waiting very patiently here on the line. Bruce, did you have a question for our guest?
Well, I would like to make a comment about the most over-immunized sector in our society, and that's the U.S. military. They're not given a choice of whether or not they receive immunizations, and they get it quite frequently. I'd like to know if there's anything that we can do to detoxify ourselves from what we've received over the years and see if we can clear this out.
Were you in the Gulf War?
I was not in the Gulf War, but I just came back from Iraq here in June.
All right, fine. Of course, then you would have probably got the anthrax vaccine.
Yes, I did. I tried to avoid it for years, but they allowed it to be given again, and just before I went, we got it, and I had a reaction to it.
What sort of symptoms? Are you having any symptoms of autoimmune disease now?
I don't know if I'm having the symptoms like I did before, but it was part of the memory loss and some of the lack of clear thinking. But I had an unusual breakout on my back after the very first immunization of the anthrax series.
That's us, Dr. Blaylock. Dr. Blaylock, of course, probably Bruce did get the anthrax vaccine, and of course, almost all of that we know of, at least of the sick people with Gulf War illness from the first Gulf War, 95% of them had antibodies to squalene. The government lied and said they didn't put in the squalene. When the FDA tested the lots and found there was squalene in the lots of the anthrax vaccine, the government said, maybe the vaccine manufactured the squalene, and after all, squalene is, it's all normally in the body, nothing to worry about, and they're simply lying about that. What would you say to Bruce? Is there anything that you can do to detoxify?
Yeah, in fact, there's been some really good studies showing that if you're deficient in vitamin A, when you have an immune stimulation, like with a vaccine, you're more likely to have serious complications, including multiple sclerosis. But if you increase vitamin A intake, the incidence of vaccine reactions falls dramatically. We discovered this when they began to have a vaccination program among their Aborigine. And they found when they went out and vaccinated the Aborigine kids, large numbers of them died. And it was because they were vitamin A deficient. When they supplied them with vitamin A, the death rate fell dramatically and the complication rate fell dramatically. So vitamin A, which the safest way to take it is beta-carotene, or the mixed carotenoids, which has all the different carotenoids in it. When you take the beta-carotene, it's converted to vitamin A in your body, and it's non-toxic. The other is vitamin D. Vitamin D, which comes as vitamin D3. One of its functions is immune modulation. And we find, for instance, that people that have the lowest vitamin D in their blood have the highest incidence of multiple sclerosis. People who have the greatest vitamin D have very rarely develop multiple sclerosis. So vitamin D needs to be taken in at least 1,000 micrograms a day.
Not the D3, is it?
The D3.
The D3.
D3 or
B3? Than what the government used to tell you you needed. 1,000 milligrams to 1,500 micrograms a day of vitamin D3. Will significantly reduce over-immune activation. The B vitamins are important because when you have something like an anthrax vaccine and your body is overstimulated immunologically, it depletes all your B vitamins and C vitamins and E, so you need to have that replenished. Now, there's a couple of flavonoids, which are plant substances, that particularly target these immune cells to calm them down. One is called silymarin, which is extracted from milk thistle. The other is resveratrol, which comes from the skin of grapes. And you can get both of these as concentrates in a natural food store. The silymarin is S-I-L-A-M-Y-R-I-N.
Okay, I have some milk thistle extract, and it's called procyanidin or grapeseed extract, too.
Yeah, now the the grapeseed extract's a little different than the resveratrol.
Okay, it is?
You can get it as a pure extract of resveratrol and pure extract of silver.
Where do you find that?
You can get it at just about any health food store. You can order it at Vitamin Research off the Internet, Vitamin Research Products Incorporated.
Bruce, actually one of our supporters, Bill Sardi, actually produces that. This is the resveratrol they have, and they actually put it into a capsule with nitrogen, so there's no contact with the air, and it seems to really work. At least they've done some studies back at Harvard that show it's the only one, the resveratrol, that really is physiological active. So much of it, once it's in a package, why it comes in contact with air and then is detoxified.
Yes.
But if you'd like, you can call me off the air, and I'll tell you more about that. I've been taking that for some time, well over a year myself, and I don't know whether it's having any effect. Well, yes, I know it's having a physiological effect on me from some of the things that have gone on.
Okay.
But anything else, Bruce?
Well, no, I just
want to add one other
No matter
thing.
What you hear about the goings on in Iraq, they're far worse than what you hear.
Let me add one other thing. Omega-3 fatty acid. Now, a high intake of omega-3 fatty acid, which contains EPA and DHA, you have to take about 2.5 grams a day. Will significantly reduce inflammation and over...
But like flaxseed oils?
Well, flaxseed oil has to be converted. And if you have an immune problem already, it may not be converted. So it's best. Carlson Labs makes a very pure Norwegian fish oil that has very high levels of these EPA, DHA in it. It's a liquid you can just take.
Who makes that?
Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N, Labs. You can find them on the Internet.
Charleston, okay.
All right.
Anything else, Bruce?
Well, not at this time. I'll make another call. I thank you very much for your time, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, sir.
And I hope you get feeling better.
Well,
are you out of the military yet?
Oh, no. No, they've... you've heard of stop loss before, haven't you?
Right.
Okay.
Well, God bless you, and bye-bye.
Bye.
And, of course, the tragedy is so many of the people, in the military are really having problems from that. The government admits now that they, I think, 170,000 from the first Gulf War, that's almost a third of the people already have some sort of a disability. There are probably a lot more that haven't been able to get the disabilities yet. And if you, we have the report, this Veterans Commission report, of the various groups that that came back. There was one group that had this. Let's see, the British group had 62% problems. There was one group had 48. One group had, as I remember, 37. Another group 46, and another group I think it was 65% from New England. These were all people from the first Gulf War that had symptoms that really were disabling symptoms, but the American people are not being told the truth. And, of course, much of everything suggests that this is directly related to the squalene, an experimental vaccine, this experimental adjuvant that they put in, and that already had disastrous effects when they tried this back in the 1950s on 47,000 troops. So now they're doing it again. We have that all covered in a four-tape set called Vaccine A, my interviews with Gary Matsumoto. We carry the book Vaccine A. Fascinating. Have you had a chance to read that book yet, Russell?
Yes. Everybody in the military should read that book. Everybody should read it, but particularly if you've been in the military, you need to read that book because this is the crux of the problem. They're adding immune adjuvants that they knew before they put them in there that they produce these serious neurological problems and these immune problems and muscle degeneration and connective tissue disease. They knew it, and even the chief scientist for the U.S. military on adjuvants, who was responsible for creating the vaccine A, he had written papers just before warning and proving that the squalene produced these problems. And then within a year to 2 years after writing and publishing those papers, he had a patent for putting it in the vaccines, and this is the vaccine that produced all the Gulf War syndrome. The soldiers that were the sickest have all had positive antibodies for squalene. Those who did not get the Gulf War syndrome were negative for the antibodies. Now, it took the military forever to admit there was any increase in Lou Gehrig disease in these soldiers who had been vaccinated. Finally, they were forced to admit there was a 200% increase in Lou Gehrig disease due to the vaccine itself. They've had 40 deaths from ALS, Lou Gehrig disease, in military personnel.
So we're going to be back here in just a moment, and we've got Dan hanging on the line from New York. So we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. We've got Dan calling from New York on a cell phone. Dan, did you have a question? Dan, are you there? Are you there, Dan? Well, let's see. That you, is this Tim from Indianapolis?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Hang on the line.
Let's
see if we can get Dan on the line. He must be on the other line. Dan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, did you have a question?
Yes, I do, Dr. Stan. Hi, I have two daughters, one's 5 and one's 2, and when my 2-year-old daughter was 6 months old, she had her vaccination, and I forgot exactly what was in there, maybe DVT or something like that it's called, or she started, within a day of getting the vaccination, she started having convulsions. Her eyes were batting very fast, and they would last for about 30 seconds, and so we brought her to the emergency room, and we were there for about 12 hours. And every doctor that saw her, there was about 4 different doctors, they all said it had nothing to do with a reaction to the immunization. And I was just wondering, you know, what route can you go through to avoid immunization?
Well, number one,
like as far as with schools and stuff.
They should have known. There's no excuse for not knowing that one of the leading causes of convulsions in children after vaccination is the DPAT vaccine. When they did the old DPT, the cellular vaccine, it was horrendous. Large numbers of children were having seizures after vaccination. Consistently, doctors will deny it because they don't want to be sued. And so they tell you it has no relationship whatsoever to the vaccine, but it is reported in numerous studies, even admitted by the vaccine manufacturer itself, that convulsions is one of the recognized complications of this vaccination. Now, you can get medical exemptions in certain states, and you'll have to check your own state. You can get philosophical exemptions, religious exemptions, and all you have to do is fill out a form, and you get exempted.
Yeah, but I hope you'll continue listening to our programs or get some of the material on the vaccinations, or get Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, because I think we're doing far more harm with our vaccines than we're doing good.
Oh, great.
Thanks very much for calling.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye. And Tim from Indianapolis, I'm going to ask you to hang on if you don't mind. We're going to have to take a quick break here, and of course, bid goodbye to our listeners up in the Great Northwest, and then we'll get to you as soon as we get back, okay?
Okay, fine.
So that's Tim, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you feel there's a problem and you're not getting the truth to the regular channels, we hope many of you will decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and it's as easy to do as picking up your telephone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you would like to get the Dr. Blaylock's book, health and nutrition secrets that can save your life. And we carry that through our ministry. We think it's a very important book. In fact, my wife insists I have my own copy, but my wife has her own copy too, and she refers to that frequently, because what they've done is they've disguised the names of so many of these toxic things they're giving us with all sorts of phony names, so you really don't know what they are. But Dr. Blaylock's done a great job of listing all these and the various names for MSG and for NutraSweet and so many other things. And then there's so many products that you are going to be given by your doctor now, and they tend to create artificial shortages of other things in your system, and you have to take supplements to make up for the medicines you're taking. So if I could recommend one book on health, it would be Health and Nutrition Secrets. It can save your life. We also carry Dr. Blaylock's book, The Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. If you have cancer and you're going to have to go through the chemotherapy and radiation, there are things that you can do that will keep you from getting so deathly ill, as most people do. And then, of course, we carry his book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We think all of these books are so important. If you're out there in the listening audience, we do hope that if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, our November newsletter actually has a lot of material in it. I got out of Dr. Blaylock's book. I talked to Dr. Blaylock. He said, gee, that was a great newsletter. And I, of course, really so much of it had come from reading the section in his book about, it's almost 40 pages, 35 pages on fluoride. So if you'd like a free copy of my November newsletter, and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we'll send you a free copy of my November newsletter, which will tell you about the danger of fluoride, which we are putting in the drinking water, which we're giving to our children in the form of tablets, we're using in our toothpaste and all these things. And yet, if you look at the toothpaste, and look what it says on the back. If you ingest any of this more than just a little dab there, why, you go to a poison control center. Why would you go to a poison control center for a harmless thing like toothpaste? Because it's a deadly poison. That's the answer. Well, and they're putting it into our drinking water, and they're putting it into our soft drinks, and they're putting it into our many of the products that we eat, into our cereals. Why would they do something like that? Unintentionally. Well, if you read my newsletter, my November newsletter, I think you'll get a better idea. If you have access to the internet, why, our new website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And of course, we hope that you go there. You can pull down our various articles. Remember, we do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light products. You can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day. Of course, you won't get much accomplished, but you can listen 5 hours a day. And, of course, you can hear us 4 hours a day on the shortwave, and the frequencies are listed there. Your job is to tell other people about our program and encourage them to listen as well, to begin to get educated. Dr. Blaylock, do you have a telephone number or a website you wanted to get out?
I have a website. It's www.russellblaylockmd.com.
That's russellblaylockmd.com. All right, fine. And what will they find up there?
Well, it has the different books describing what's in them, and it has a link so you can get my new newsletter. I have a health newsletter that I put out once a month.
All right, fine. So that's RussellBlaylockMD.com, and we recommend it to you. Anyway, thank you so very much, and to our listeners, we, of course, will be back for the next hour, but if you're going to be in the Great Northwest, why, of course, you'll be leaving. You can always hear us after that on shortwave, or you can hear us on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. And so please pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this afternoon or this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's author of the book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Dr. Blaylock was a neurosurgeon for many years, certainly very active in many medical organizations. And, of course, he has been studying now since he's retired from active surgery. He's been, of course, going into the scientific literature. And he has information you're not going to find elsewhere. And you'll certainly want to go to his website, get his material, subscribe to his newsletter, and get yourself on the cutting edge of what's going on. Well, right now we have on the line from Indianapolis, Indiana, Tim. Hi, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, doctors. Thank you. Dr. Blaylock, if there's ever been a conspiracy, it has to be this flu shot conspiracy. I mean, from a national level, both the president and the Kerry, during the campaigning, they both mentioned to go get your flu shot. And here locally, we have the county is involved. I thought the county department takes care of the highways and property tax, but they're involved heavily in promoting these and distributing the flu shots. My question, we hear about the deaths last year or the year before. Is it 36,000 from related to the flu people have died in America?
Well,
number.
Yeah, the thing is, this is an overinflated number, just like they use the huge numbers for deaths from hepatitis B. They'll say 600,000 people die. Well, they're not talking about in this country. They're talking about in third world countries. When they talk about 36,000 flu deaths, it's in people who are debilitated from other diseases. They're in terminal stages of cancer. They have serious diabetes or other diseases, and they're very weak and debilitated. The vaccine is contraindicated in them. They can't take the vaccine because the vaccine would kill them. And yet they're giving the illusion that these people are dying from simple flu. Well, they're not dying from flu, and a lot of them end up in the hospital from dehydration. They catch the pneumonia in the hospital because this is where your most virulent organisms are located, in the hospital. They get the fatal pneumonia while they're in the hospital being rehydrated. So it's actually the hospital that killed them, not the flu. Now, the simple fact is, what we've learned about immunology is that as you begin to age, particularly after age 50, your immune function begins to fall off significantly. And that's why the elderly are more prone to develop these infections. But it's been found that that's purely nutritional. If you take these elderly people and you give them a group of vitamins, particularly the carotenoid vitamins, vitamin C, E, selenium, their immunity goes back to what it was when they were 20 or 30 years of age. And then they're no more at risk of flu or complicated flu than anyone else. So it's all an illusion. And they know that, but they're selling a vaccine, and the government is behind the vaccine.
You know, I think it's so interesting, as I was commenting in the first hour, they're saying, look, the vaccine season is almost over. There's only more 2 more weeks of the influenza vaccine season. Get down and get your immunizations right away. Well, why would you do that? It's going to take you a couple of weeks before it really, if it was going to do any good. So why do you want to get that vaccine? Because they're selling the vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. The government and government agencies are working with the vaccine manufacturers to use up all that vaccine. Because if they don't, why, think of all the money the vaccine companies are going to lose. And think of all the harm that they're going to do. How much better off the people would be if they just don't take it. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we have Tim on the line from Indianapolis. Tim, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
Yes, doctors. It's just so frustrating. I want this to stop. Now, what can we do to stop this? Thank you.
Well, all right. Thanks, Tim. And, of course, Russell, Tim wants to know what we can do to stop it.
Well, it's going to take outrage by the general public. I mean, the majority of the public is going to have to say enough is enough. We're not listening to these lies anymore. We're not taking these vaccines. We're not going to ruin the health of our children and our parents and ourselves listening to this lying propaganda from the public. And they need to put the pressure on the media as well as the government to stop this nonsense. And, your local county medical boards are behind this. You need to put the pressure on them. And they respond to pressure. The doctors will respond. But patients need to get on that internet, look up these scientific studies, and educate themselves of the dangers of these vaccines, and quit listening to this propaganda nonsense that comes over the media telling people if you don't get this flu vaccine, you're going to die. I think about the poor old people that stood in a line for hours to get this vaccine, and the poor lady fell and hit her head and died because she was so terrified she was going to die from the flu if she didn't get that vaccine. Now, no one's telling that line of elderly people, when you keep getting these vaccines, you increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. They don't tell heart patients when you get all that mercury loaded into your body, well, one of the other sensitive organs is your heart, and you're going to go into heart failure because of the mercury that accumulates in your heart muscle. Nobody tells them that. Yet we've got to start insisting that these people listen, and it's going to take a massive public participation.
And really, I think that programs like this, and of course, if you'd like to get copies of the program this evening, why our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Go up on the internet, get Dr. Blaylock's articles down, and many of them are posted on Mercola.com. That's Dr. Mercola's website. But you go to your doctor, and you insist that he starts checking these facts. Taking the material from Dr. Fudenberg's website, it's the abstract of the article shows the increase in the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. Ask him if this is true. Why don't you know about it? And of course, it's not his fault. Be nice, be kind, but appeal to his sense of righteousness. And most doctors, when they get over the shock of your approaching them, will listen to you. And if they're not the kind to listen, why, you certainly want to find another doctor. But it's going to be up to the people across America, Tim, to reach their doctor, to reach others with the truth. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we've got Mary calling from Covina. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask if either of you know how I can get boric acid powder. For years, I have made an eye wash, and when you get irritated in your eyes from allergy, it's so soothing, and I had an optometrist tell me that it was good. It was very good for your eyes.
What is the product again?
Boric acid powder.
Boric acid powder.
They've taken it off the market.
All right. Do you know anything tall about that, Russell?
Your best chance would be to go to a compounding pharmacist. They may be able to get it. But you're right. When I grew up, boric acid was on every shelf in every pharmacy around in the grocery stores. You saw boric acid in a bottle. And it made an excellent eye wash. It was very soothing.
Okay, but you're just going to have to try going to a pharmacist and maybe able to make it up for you, okay?
Go to a compounding farm.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Yeah, well, bye-bye, and let's go to Ari calling him from Redwood City. Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
Fine. I've got a question about mercury toxicity. I've had a lot of amalgam fillings over the years, both put in and taken out, as I've had, needed crowns and so forth. And I also heard a program recently saying that there could be a connection between mercury and depression, and I've suffered from depression over the years, and I was thinking about getting tested for that. I've heard you can get some kind of a hair analysis done to show the level of mercury in your blood and get some kind of chelation therapy. What do you think of that? And if so, what level of mercury do you think would be of concern?
Well, you can get a hair analysis which is fairly accurate, and a 24-hour urine stimulation study. Take a medication called DMSA, and then you do a 24-hour urine, and that's one of the more accurate ways to measure mercury. Also, stool mercury tests you can do. There are several companies that do that. Doctor's Data does that test. But all those measure the mercury levels. Usually anything above 10 micrograms of mercury is toxic. Recently they've said that there's no known safe level of mercury. Now, dental amalgam is the number one source of mercury in humans.
Russell, we're really having some problems with our line. I think I'm going to have my producer call you right back.
Okay.
I don't know if we got novel hum on here. So if you wouldn't mind hanging up, and I'm going to ask my producer to call Dr. Blaylock right back, because certainly we don't want to miss this. But I think it's... sorry, Ari, we cut Ari off. Didn't mean to do that. Let's see if we can get Ari back again. Ari, are you there? No, I think we lost Ari. Well, Ari can call back in again if you'd like to. But certainly, we'll see if we can get Dr. Blaylock back on the line. There are real problems that from dental amalgam, and we actually have some interviews with Dr. Boyd Haley going into the background of that. If you're going to get the amalgams taken out, you have to go to a dentist who really knows how to do this. Otherwise, you can get literally toxic doses of mercury simply by getting the dental amalgam taken out. But because we know that, of course, you get a physiological response from this, and this has been measured many times, has it, Russell? The response, the mercury levels from the amalgam?
Yes. In fact, several of the really elaborate tests that have been done, they put a radioactive tracer on the mercury in the amalgam in teeth of sheep. During the chewing, they could see that it formed this vapor, was absorbed into the tissues of the mouth, entered the nerves that go through the nose, called the olfactory nerve, which leads directly to the part of the brain that causes Alzheimer's disease. When we look at Alzheimer's patients' brains, we see the highest level of mercury is in that nerve and in its connection to the brain. So we know that this mercury can pass up through the mouth from the vapor coming off the amalgam, and we've even have video which you can see the vapor coming off the tooth, a tooth that's 25 years old, amalgam, 25 years old, giving off the mercury. And when you drink hot things or eat hot food, the amount of mercury that enters your blood is 2 to 3 times higher. So you develop very high levels, and it enters the brain, it's locked into the brain because it ionizes, and then ionized mercury is very difficult to get out of the brain. Now, there's several things nutritionally you can do to reduce your brain toxicity, and selenium is one of the best. Selenium neutralizes a lot of the toxicity of mercury. Also, aged garlic extract tends to remove mercury from the brain. It's one of the few things that will remove it. So that's one of the things to do. Now, when you have these removed, the amalgam removed from your teeth, you have to do it by a dentist that was trained by the International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, called IAOMT. You can get it on the web, www.iaomt.com, and they can tell you which dentist near you is trained. Once you get it out, and you take the aged garlic and the selenium while you're having it removed, and you just stay on the selenium and the aged garlic extract, and that'll remove the mercury, and then they'll put ceramic fillings in your teeth, which are actually much better than the mercury fillings.
Now, you mentioned aged garlic. What is the type of garlic you're taking?
It's aged garlic extract.
How do you spell that?
A-G-E-D.
A-G-E-D, okay.
A-G-E-D.
A-G-E-D.
Aged garlic extract.
Well, then aged, like getting old.
Right.
Okay.
What they do is they let the garlic age for about 6 months. And it's the one that is the most powerful against cancer. It's also the one that's shown all the protection of the brain, and it's the one that removes mercury from the brain. So it's a very easy way to get rid of your brain mercury.
All right, what about chelation, things of that sort?
Well, the chelation, the DMSA, is one that's commonly used. It will take the mercury out of the rest of your body, but it won't remove it from the brain. Using EDTA, which is the one that's most commonly thought about, will remove mercury. There was one study that shows that once it binds the EDTA, it actually makes it more toxic in the brain, but the human studies have shown that EDTA seems to work fine, particularly for getting it out of the bowel, which can be a reservoir for mercury. So, you know, there are several oral products that has oral EDTA in it, which you can take to remove the mercury. That's what I would do.
All right, well, we've got Greg calling from New York, hanging on very very patiently. Greg, what part of New York are you calling from?
I'm calling from Manhattan.
I'm sorry, we don't know. Are you on the cell phone? Greg?
Yes.
We can't really hear you. Do you want to try again? Craig? Greg, because we can't hear you. I guess we're... I'm sorry. No, you're not coming through. If you're on the cell phone, it must be out of power. I'm sorry. You've probably been waiting on the line so long while your battery ran down. But I'm sorry. Anyway, maybe Greg can call back again. Under any circumstances, you know, I think that people have to recognize the toxicity in mercury. You're getting it from your vaccines. You're getting it from your injections. And certainly the elderly are getting it from their influenza shots. Is there any other source that we're going to get it from?
Well, coal burning releases a lot of mercury into the air. So if you live near a coal burning facility within 100 miles of it, you can get an appreciable amount of mercury. Also, brick-making companies release a lot of mercury into the air. So those are sources of mercury. But most of the things like mercury thermometers and all these have been removed, methylate, all these products that used to have mercury in it. Even that one of the eye washes had mercury in it. They've taken that out. It was the same mercury they put in vaccines. They took it out of the eye wash, but leave it in the vaccine.
And I mean, the most amazing thing, I remember when I first got started practicing medicine, and we had methylate at that time. This was, 1960, we still had a little methylate around, and certainly by 1955, we had methylate when I was in my training. And then, of course, recognizing the danger of mercury, why they took methylate and mercurochrome off the market, and they took the mercury out of the thermometers, and they left it in the vaccines. And at far, you got far less chance of getting problems from a thermometer, unless you break the thermometer, than you do by injecting it into people. And they've been doing that not only with our children but with our elderly. And then we wonder why so many people have Alzheimer's disease.
Exactly. And I have there was another phony report just released about the safety of dental amalgam that came out, I think, by the Institute of Medicine. And it was totally a phony study. And I wrote an analysis of that, and it's on that website of www.iaomt.com, and they put it up there prominently. You should read that because it shows how they manipulated the study, how they lied, and the truth about the toxicity of dental amalgam.
And
they're doing the same thing to the dentist they're doing to the pediatricians. The ADA is lying to the dentist, and the dentist is passing that lie on to you, not knowing that it's a lie.
And I think it really is so vitally important that the people get the facts and the information. It's there. So much of it is well documented in Dr. Blaylock's excellent book. And we have a video. It's called Without Informed Consent. You'll actually see the smoking tooth. Because there's a special type of some sort of a special filter, and you can actually see the mercury vapors, and you'll see the mercury vapors coming off of this extracted tooth with the mercury filling in it. And then, of course, you'll actually get so much other information on the dangers of the mercury and for some of the hearings that have been held. Where the people actually have gotten up, and some of them have lied, others have told the truth. But of course, when people are never punished for telling the lie, when we've taken God and right and wrong and absolutes out of our society, why should we be surprised when we find that politicians and even our medical and dental leaders are deceiving the people? Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, we've got actually Robert calling in from Illinois. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Fine. I'd like to ask Dr. Blalock, what about cooking in Teflon-coated utensils as far as getting fluoride from it and so forth?
I would not use Teflon. Most of these organic bound fluoride compounds are infinitely more toxic than just pure fluoride itself, like sodium fluoride. Now, when you heat Teflon above 250, 300 degrees, it begins to release a vapor. And even the company itself admits that there's a Teflon flu, which people that breathe this vapor feel like they have the flu. That fluoridated organic compound enters the brain tissue in very high levels. And fluoride is very toxic to the brain, as well as to other organs. It has all sorts of effects. And I would not use Teflon coated. I'd use stainless steel or ceramic, something like that, but not Teflon coated.
Okay, Robert, does that answer your question?
Yes, I hate to say, I had one other question. I wondered as far as if you would have any, like, a natural treatment for the tardive dyskinesia, or whatever they call it.
What?
Tardive dyskinesia?
Yeah.
yeah, there's things that you can do to help the tardive dyskinesia. One is acetylcholine, acetyl-L-carnitine tends to improve it. Alpha lipoic acid tends to improve it. Magnesium tends to improve it. Combination of all of those tend to improve tardive dyskinesia.
Well, you're going to have to tell me what this dyskinesia is. I know what dyskinesia is, but what this specific type of dyskinesia?
Well,
could you describe it for our listeners?
It's quite often associated with different psychotropic drugs, Haldol and things like that can produce it. Now, what it is, it's a writhing of the muscles.
Like we used to get with Thorazine when we used it? People?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what you develop.
Compazine, I remember we used to see that. People would take the Compazine suppositories to keep from getting nauseated, and then they'd come in with these grotesque writhing of almost like convulsives.
Right.
Reaction. So, Robert, does that help you?
Yes, sir. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Okay. And of course, our telephone number, if you're out there across America, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. And the biggest problem that I see it is that the people tend to trust their doctors and their dentists. And I want to tell you that I never met a doctor who wanted to hurt anybody. And I never, I don't think dentists want to hurt anybody either. I think most of them are good people. They're trying to do their job. But they are simply being lied to by their professional organizations that have a vested interest, for one reason or another, in not bringing out the truth. And when you're a doctor and you go to the medical meetings and they never tell you the things we're talking about, when you go to your medical journals and they never tell you the things we're talking about, and then, of course, especially when you have the detailed men and women come around and talk to you, and then they have this air of authority, and of course, they tell you just what you're supposed to hear. It's little wonder that our doctors, who are so busy, they don't have time to read things out of their own specialty, really don't know so many of the things we're talking about tonight. And so that's really why one reason I do what I do and have guests on like Dr. Blalock is so that we can actually get you the information and get you the sources where you can verify it and you can get educated. And if we can get the doctors and the dentists to begin to understand what's happening, they can, of course, reach their other patients as well. And we'll be right back here. Well, Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blalock. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, if you have a question or comment. And, of course, we've been talking initially about the childhood vaccines. And, of course, it isn't simply the thimerosal in them, but it is the other adjuvant that is in there, the alum. And you were saying that the alum by itself, even without the thimerosal, it has a toxic effect?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this came out in the secret conference before the Mercury conference. And they recognized that the aluminum adjuvant in vaccines could produce multiple sclerosis as well. And this is what's being described in France, and now they're picking up cases in the United States And the childhood cases that occurred in the United States were just absolutely devastating from the aluminum. The children had severe destruction of their brain. So we're just getting so much of this adjuvant injected in children with these 22 different injections that the store of aluminum in the brain is just immensely toxic, and it spurs an immune reaction that strips away the insulation from the nerves and produces this multiple sclerosis syndrome.
Well, now, is that transcript of that other secret meeting where they dealt with aluminum, is that available anyplace?
Yeah, I downloaded it. I can't remember exactly where I downloaded it, but I downloaded the entire copy of the conference. So it's available off the Internet.
How would you go? You'd probably go to Google. What would you look for?
I'm not really sure.
All right, well, I can call you off the air.
I would look on the vaccine website.
All right.
They probably have a copy, and that's probably where I got a copy of it, but it's the entire conference.
All right, fine. And, Chris, this was held in, what, about the year 2000? Or
well, it was the year before.
1999, then.
Right.
And so they actually recognized the fact that, of course, the adjuvant means to help. Adjuvant is what they put in the vaccine, and that's also put in to help to mobilize the immune system so the body will then react and, of course, create the immunity to the problem. But the problem is you also mobilize the immune system, and you can get autoimmune disease. In other words, you get the immune system, so it's beginning to overreact and can even begin to react against itself. Would that be a fair statement?
Right. It'll attack different tissues. It can attack the brain, or it can attack your connective tissue, your muscle, your heart muscle, your thyroid gland. And this is what we're seeing with Gulf War veterans. Is when they're injected with squalene, some of them develop a thyroid autoimmune disorder. Some of them develop severe muscle weakness and inflammation of their joints, terrible pains. Others develop Lou Gehrig disease and multiple sclerosis. So there's a different clinical presentation in different people. But it's all based on the fact that it makes the immune system attack some part of the body.
Now, I think for our listeners who don't know, squalene is an oil of some sort, but it is an oily substance, and they have found that this really tends to boost the immune system. But the problem is, it not only boosts the immune system against a disease, it begins to boost the immune system to react against itself, and that's the frightening thing about them, that this incredible story of the Gulf War illness, and everything is being done to keep the American people from knowing about that, because if they really understood, who would want to go in the military where you have to take these vaccines, and where half of the people are going to come down with serious illnesses that will be with them the rest of their lives. And, of course, the symptoms include skin rashes, and they include breathing abnormalities and asthma, cognitive disability, in other words, you can't think or think clearly, you can't remember, chronic diarrhea, excruciating pain in your head or in your joints, chronic fatigue, and then, of course, this myriad of neurological problems that Dr. Blaylock's been talking about. And these indeed are frightening things, and we're talking about almost half of the people who went to the Gulf War have these symptoms to a greater or lesser degree. They're doing everything they can to cover this up, and the doctors who worked for the Veterans Administration, who tried to treat the patients, who tried to find out what was wrong with them, they were fired. And I talked to several of them. One was Dr. Bumswalker, as I remember, and there was a Mary Leisure, Dr. Leisure. They both worked for the Veterans Administration, and when they tried to take care of the patients, why, of course, immediately they got into all sorts of problems, and they were eventually let go. So most people working for the Veterans Administration would rather keep their job than rock the boat. And they simply mouth what they've been told. They just say, well, there is no such thing, take Prozac. And, of course, it's a fluoride-based compound. And then we wonder why so many of these people have so many problems. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock, and welcome your calls from out across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Russell Blaylock, and of course, I think it's been fascinating what we've covered so far. Are there any other things we should cover as far as the vaccines, Russell, or some of the other things you'd like to talk about this evening?
Well, one of the other things that needs to be discussed is the risk of mad cow disease from vaccine. That is even a deeper secret. In fact, the FDA put out a warning on 8 different vaccines, saying these vaccines are at a very high risk of containing mad cow components. And what had happened is during the peak of the mad cow infection in Great Britain, these cows were slaughtered. The products from those slaughtered cows were sent to various countries around the world, and various vaccine manufacturing companies bought some of these products to use in their vaccine. And they listed things like Aventis Pasteur, Bioport, Letterly Laboratories, Smith, Klein, Beecham, Aventis. All of these companies were on the FDA list of having used mad cow products. Now, nobody told the public. And the GAO put a report out on mad cow disease this past year, and they had the same warning, that there's a lot of biological products, either pharmaceutical medications or vaccines, that contain a high possibility of mad cow contaminated products. So that's another scandal that's in the vaccines, another reason to worry about taking vaccines.
Well, now, of course, how did they use that? Because ordinarily they would have put the... was these part of the cow? I know that they ground the cows up and used it for cattle feed, but why would the pharmaceutical companies be using it?
It's part of the adjuvant process.
They use
bovine product protein as part of the adjuvant.
I see. So that
added to the vaccine.
So they would actually have added that to the vaccines, and the possibility that the prion, the prion, which is the active a component as far as mad cow disease, would actually be being injected into people, as part of the vaccine?
Right, and in fact, in England, they were using pooled plasma from volunteers to make vaccines, and they discovered that a woman had donated her plasma, and she developed mad cow disease and died. So they said millions of people had been vaccinated with this pool plasma from this woman who had mad cow disease, and the government's response was, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. So they're waiting, and they're watching all the people with millions of infected.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and every time I have Dr. Russell Blaylock on, I learn something new, because he's on the front lines of what's going on, and he's saying that there have been reports not only from the FDA, but from the GAO, that's the General Accounting Office, warning here in the United States that when, of course, they had all these cows over in Great Britain with mad cow disease, why, of course, they ground up, they took the pot, they killed them all, but then they didn't simply burn the bodies. Oh, no, they took part of those products and they sold them throughout the world. And part of those products were bought up by American pharmaceutical companies and put into the vaccines as some sort of a medium, something having to do with the proteins that they wanted to make the vaccines work more efficiently. And would you say that millions of people could have been injected with these vaccines?
Oh, tens of millions.
Now, these are all throughout the world or just here in the United States?
In the United States, they're still being injected with them. In the GAO report, they tell about tens of thousands of tons of that beef that was shipped to the United States. There are no records as to where it went. It was used in all sorts of products, like making gelatin. Gelatin is made from cows, and because it has bone products in it, it's at a high risk of mad cow infection. So all of the gelatin is at risk. Gelatin capsules used for medications, even gelatin capsules for vitamins are at risk. And they never told the public because they said, we don't know. Thousands and thousands of tons of it were shipped to the United States, and we don't have a record of where it went.
Why in heaven's names what we have allowed those products from the cows that they sacrificed because they were infected. Why would they allow that to come into America?
Well, that's the big question. And we weren't the only one. France had it shipped to them, and there were a number of cases of the mad cow had been diagnosed in France because of that contaminated beef. The American public just does not seem to be aware of the danger here and how this is being covered up. If you read the GAO report...
Now, how can we get that? Where would that be?
You can get it directly from the General Accounting Office.
You would just call them in Washington, D.C., and that would be...
You can get on the web, on their website and get it downloaded directly from their website.
And that would be on the mad cow disease?
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, the information is up there, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, if you have access to the computer and you get up there, you can get this information. And then, of course, you've got that in your hand and you can show it to your friends. They might not want to hear this, but would they really want to have one of the members of their family or their children get this Creutzfeldt-Jacobs disease, progressive neurological disease for which there's no treatment and it results in death? Doesn't take that long for people to die once they begin coming down with this. And you know, apparently the prions, the act, whatever produces this particle, this living particle, or I guess what is it? It's a molecule, isn't it? Some sort of
molecule? Well, the prion is a normal protein in your nervous system, in your body. What happens is it changes its shape, its conformation. And when it does, that's when all these bad things happen in the brain. So what they call it is an infectious protein. For some reason, when the prion from the infected animal enters your body, it starts unraveling your prions. So that's what happens with the prion disease. But it's being covered up. This GAO report shows that there are probably a lot more infected animals in this country than people know about, like elk. There's very high incidence of wasting disease in elk, which is just like the mad cow disease. In deer, it's been spotted all over. And people are eating elk and eating deer, not even thinking anything about it. Now, a lot of the cattle could be infected, according to the GAO report, because what the farmers will do is if they find a sick cow in their herd, they'll slaughter it and burn it and bury the carcass and not tell the USDA. They're trying to keep it secret because they don't want their herds quarantined. And they'll slaughter the animals early because they know the mad cow comes on at a later age in the cattle. So they'll slaughter it when it's a calf or very young and sell it on the market when it could be infected. We just don't know because they're not testing the cattle. Final report says that the incidence of mad cow could be much, much greater than people are being told.
Well, you know, I think it's really so interesting that there were maybe a couple of months ago when the Japanese were saying that they didn't want any more meat from the United States unless, of course, every cow was tested. They wanted those cows tested, and then they would import the meat from the United States. One of the meat exporters that had been working with the Japanese said, fine, we're going to test every cow. And the government said, oh, you can't test every cow. And they said, why can't we test every cow? And the government said, well, you just can't do it because we won't allow you to test every cow. And that really didn't make sense. I mean, what's the harm with testing cows? Well, you know, I actually had an opportunity to talk to a government official, and I asked him the same question. I said, why aren't we testing every cow? Oh, he said, we're going to be doing a general testing, and we're going to test a couple of 100,000 cows sometime next year, and the year after that to find out what the incidence is. And I said, why don't you test every cow? Why, he said, we might get a false positive. Well, you know, he said, this is such a sensitive test, why we might get a false positive. That's the excuse they used for not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic, and 500,000 Americans have died. And they said, oh, we can't test everybody for the disease. We might get a false positive and ruin somebody's life, so we won't test routinely at all in the United States. Only 25 years later have they, here in California, they finally gotten around to doing routine testing in women. That's within the last, pregnant women. 25 years after the onset of this disease, 500,000 Americans dead, another million infected, they finally said, Gee, maybe we ought to just do routine testing of pregnant women. Of course, we should do routine testing of everybody to try to find out who has the disease and stop its spread. But the same thing you would think we'd be doing with cows. And the excuse is, why, we might get a false positive for mad cow disease.
Well, and they even discussed this in the GAO report. They show that they had a very simple test for mad cow. It was relatively inexpensive. I had very low incidence of false positives, but they wouldn't let them use it. So, you know, it's the reason they don't want to do it is they know it's going to show the problem is much larger than the public is being told.
And they're lying to us
much,
once
much
again.
Larger.
And because this is not simply a matter of vaccines. This is what you're eating. This is in your vitamin tablets or capsules. They have an opportunity to infect the entire nation, and they're doing nothing to protect our health. That's what's so scary. Let's go to Troy calling from Pacific Grove. Hi, Troy. How are you doing?
Goodness, that's such a serious conversation. We should lighten up just a little bit.
Okay, can you speak up a little bit?
I'll try. In the Science Times and the New York Times on Sunday, there was a very interesting article, and I'll just read you a short line. The 19 blue states, those won by Senator Kerry, account for 95% of the cases of Lyme disease reported in 2002. Some European researchers looking at demographics, and I don't know how they came across this, but the red states pretty much are all states where the Lone Star tick, which doesn't communicate Lyme disease, deer tick communicates the Lyme disease. And so there's a difference in biological parasites, perhaps, that elected the last president. Who knows? I thought that was quite interesting.
All right, Troy, that's a good point. Anything else?
No, that's it. Just let him finish talking about this very serious topic here.
All right, thank you very much.
All right.
That is an interesting sideline, but I'm sure that that was there long before they nominated John Kerry and George Bush. Well, this really is something I hadn't heard of. I've always been very suspicious they were lying to us about mad cow disease, and especially when I found out that they would not let this company that wanted to test every cow test every cow. And it didn't make sense until I talked to this fellow who said, oh, we can't test cows because if we did that, we might get false positives. In fact, recently we were told, well, there was one more cow that we thought might have it, but oh, shucks, we checked it again, and we found it didn't. And my thought was, how do we know they're not lying to us?
Well, they're also covering up human cases. There was a couple of human cases that occurred in Washington State. One was in a person that worked in a slaughterhouse, a young man. And he developed full-blown mad cow disease, and they just kept denying it and re-diagnosing it until he died. So there's some indication that maybe a lot of people are being diagnosed as Alzheimer's disease that really have mad cow disease. And if you look at most diagnoses, it's done by people who are not particularly attuned to telling the difference in the diseases, and they just see somebody's demented and have some of these symptoms and wasting, and so they just put it down as Alzheimer's. But it has all the characteristics of mad cow disease.
Well, of course, we're seeing this these diseases in very young people. I know Dr. Lorraine Day was telling me about this, the orthopedist wife, you know, and she was, probably in her 40s or so, and with all the symptoms of the mad cow disease and a very short clinical course, progressive dementia and incoordination, then she dies. And I think there's probably a lot more out there, but they do not dare let the American people know. We've got Theodora on the line. Hi, Theodora. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and hi, Dr. Blaylock. First of all, yeah, it's always good when the two of you are together, the two doctors that I actually trust.
There's other good doctors.
Well, I unfortunately haven't needed them because I listen to good advice from folks like you and keep myself healthy. But I'd like to thank Dr. Blaylock for the excellent article in the current Nexus magazine.
Thank you.
Yeah, it really gave a good rundown of what some of the latest cover-ups have been in the vaccination world and what, you know, thus helping us understand what we do already know. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Stan, are you familiar with the Nexus magazine?
Nexus. I am. I don't take it, but people keep sending me copies, and I've seen some excellent articles.
Well, it is, and I'm glad you do know about it, because it's also an excellent place to, you know, find potential guests for your show, because a very intelligent roster of people.
Anytime you see a good article there, you give me a call off the air, and because I'm always looking for good guests.
Okay, I will take that under consideration.
All right.
And my question for Dr. Blaylock is, we just had a local person here in Santa Cruz die from what was diagnosed as mad cow disease, and he was treated up at UC San Francisco at the medical center up there. They actually have some kind of medical unit that is tracking mad cow patients, at least in the Bay Area. Are you familiar with that?
No.
No. And that's where he got the diagnosis. So,
why don't you see if you can track anybody down so we can get some more information? Because right now they're trying to just play this whole thing down, and of course there's nothing to worry about. We're from the government. There's only been one case here, and that one came from.
Well, apparently there's been two in the Santa Cruz area. One sometime in the last couple of years, and apparently got written up in the local paper, and then this happened with my friend, and he's now passed, but. Is there any, I felt very helpless, being somebody attuned to alternative therapies. Do we know anything that can be helpful for these folks?
Yeah, there's some really exciting things that are being done. They've discovered that the mad cow disease has the same pathology that you see with Alzheimer's. And that's what we call microglial activation in the brain. That's the brain's immune cell, and it becomes overactivated in this disease. When you cool that cell down, calm it down, the disease seems to slow considerably or may even disappear. One of the things that seems to help is curcumin.
Uh-huh.
Curcumin is a flavonoid extract from the spice turmeric, but it seems to significantly inhibit the progression of the prion disease. Now, ibuprofen does the same thing, but not quite as well and not with the safety. Ibuprofen also calms these cells down. What may end up helping a lot is the antibiotic minocycline, which completely shuts the cell down. That may help, or it may not. We don't know. It does in multiple sclerosis. It's a rather dramatic improvement in multiple sclerosis. But curcumin is the safe way to do it. Several other flavonoids like quercetin and asparagin also have a similar action, but curcumin seems to have the most potent brain-protecting and may be one of the key ways to stop the progression of that disease.
Wow.
And is anybody actually using that in any of the medical centers, Russell?
Yeah, there's some. They've tried in experimental animals that have been inoculated with the prion disease, they've had good results. And with scrapie, which is in the sheep, they've had good results. So it's in the very nascent stages of leading up to human experimentation, but it's quite impressive. It's the only thing that's shown any effect, and it's a very effective in experimental studies.
What kind of quantities? What quantities?
Well, it's usually, in a human, it would be equal to about 500 milligrams 3 times to 4 times a day. Now, curcumin is oil-soluble, so you have to dissolve it in oil, either fish oil or extra virgin olive oil, and then it's highly absorbed. You get very good brain levels.
Okay, anything else?
Well, that's a good place to begin, and again, thank you for a good show.
Thank you so very much. Well, tell us a little bit about your newsletter, Russell, because I'd heard that you were doing that. This comes out on a monthly basis?
Yeah, it's being published by Newsmax.com. I've been doing it now for about 8 months. We've got out of 8 issues, but I started out with the vaccine as the first issue, and we've worked through statin drugs and how to survive a visit to a hospital and tests you need to get done, and the latest one I'm doing, a two-part one on cancer prevention and treatment that covers a lot of these things. But
what are your feeling on the statin drugs? Do you think that they're just giving this to everybody and without really a lot of justification for it?
Well, statin drugs are like vaccines. The pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars, and they have the physicians pushing it. and they're not telling the danger. Statin drugs produce significant cognitive decline. It can almost produce a syndrome like Alzheimer's. People can't remember, they get confused, disoriented. It produces severe muscle wasting and weakness. Some people are just incapacitated. And it's produced death in quite a few people.
Well, Chris, would the cognitive decline be related to the fact that you're knocking down the cholesterol? And, of course, you need the cholesterol for a good functioning of brain?
Yeah, cholesterol in the brain has a very important function, particularly for the synaptic connections. And we know that people that have real low cholesterol, that can interfere with brain function.
All right, hang on to that. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, just about to the end of the program. We've got Mary calling from east of Buffalo. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi. Good, thanks. I have Dr. Blalock's book, and I lent it out, so I can't really consult it right now. But
You have to be very careful lending out books, because sometimes
I know where it came from.
And so you've got to be a little pushy and say, hey, I want to get that book back.
Yeah, I told her. She knows I got to read up on the fluoride stuff. But my question is, I've been telling her that if I boil my soup, I'm boiling out the MSG, and she doesn't think that works. And I just wondered if you boil MSG in soup or some kind of liquid, if it would actually boil out or not.
No, it doesn't.
There's your answer. It doesn't.
No.
Your friend's right. You're wrong.
Amino acid, and it's not going to boil out, particularly in soups or hot liquids. It remains an excitotoxin.
Okay. And what can I do to avoid mad cow disease? Stay away from beef, gelatin. Is there a whole list of things?
Yeah, anything that's made from a cow. Stay away from deer and elk and buffalo.
What about milk and cheese, things like that?
Anything that's made from a cow.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
Goat's cheese, fine. I like goat's cheese.
Okay, well, I hope that answers your question. Anything else, Mary?
No, thank you very much.
But the thing is, Mary, we've got to get the government to act responsibly. They're covering this up. They're afraid, of course, that if the truth came out, why, they'd have to do what they did over in England and destroy a lot of the cattle herds, and that would be bad for the economy. And they're putting the political considerations ahead of the health of the Americans. But why should we be surprised at that? Look what they've done with the vaccines and the statins and the anti-inflammatories and so many other things that they've done to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, bless you both, and I'll get the word out as much as I can.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Mary. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And so it's exciting to know that we have listeners up there, and certainly in New York, and of course in the Michigan area and the Illinois area, and of course the West Coast, and all across America. Well, Russell, we've got about 30-40 seconds. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Well, I think what we probably should take away from this is don't trust the government, don't trust the medical establishment, you know, the leaders at the top. You're going to have to do your own work, study, read. And that's the only way you're going to protect yourself, because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to harm you.
Is there any telephone number you want to get out, or just the website?
Just the website.
It's RussellBlalockMD.com.
Right.
God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us.
God bless you.
It's always a pleasure having you with us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that's Dr. Russell Blalock, a personal friend, and always a pleasure having him on. I hope you enjoy having him as much as I enjoy having him with us. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and once again, I mentioned Dr. Blalock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, his book on natural strategies for cancer patients, his book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. Now, we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Dr. Blalock called Life-Saving Secrets. So that's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, are the three books he's written, and then, of course, our four-tape set, health and nutrition, pardon me, the life-saving health secrets. The information is there. You need to get it if you'd like to get copies of the interview this evening. Why? Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you out there will want to get the information we put together on fluoride. We have Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets, has about 35 pages in it on fluoride. We also carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. We have an excellent DVD on fluoride. And then we have a four-tape set on fluoride. Any of our listeners would be glad to send you a free copy of our November newsletter, which covers the fluoride and what's going on and how they're poisoning our children. And then, of course, you can go to my website and pull that down free of charge at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We have a four-tape set on mercury. We have certainly a video on mercury. It's called Without Informed Consent, Without Informed Consent. And we'll have a new DVD on mercury, a talk given by Dr. Boyd Haley. You'll find that fascinating. Of course, Dr. Haley does 2 hours of our four-hour tape set on mercury. Then we have a four-tape set on aspartame, and of course we carry several books on that, excitotoxins, the taste it kills. Aspartame disease, a forgotten epidemic, that's almost 1,000 pages. That's the Bible on this. And of course, aspartame, NutraSweet, that produces pathological obesity, and we wonder why so many people that drink so many Diet Cokes are so fat. Well, it's because it's producing brain lesions that, so that they can't lose their weight, because it's actually destroyed part of the brain that deals with controlling their weight. And then, of course, it is related to sugar diabetes. It produces diabetes. It complicates diabetes. It certainly has an effect on pregnancy and lowers it, and it has an effect on creating convulsions and tumors and your endocrine system. And really, all of these things are directly caused by aspartame. In fact, we have an excellent talk I gave called None Dare Call It Genocide. It's a video we have, and we'll give you the whole background of that. And when you get that, you get the notes we handed out, giving you all the mnemonics so you can remember the disastrous effects of mercury and of NutraSweet and of fluoride. And you can memorize those, and you can speak intelligently about that. And so, of course, that's None Dare Call It Genocide. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have a wonderful four-tape set on vaccines. But to really understand what this is all about, we have a four-tape set, the most incredible four-tape set you've ever heard, called The New Order of the Barbarians. It's based upon a talk that was given in 1969 by Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, who talked about the group he worked with called the Order that controlled America and intended to kill off a large part of the population. You can get the four-tape set, or you can get the four-tape set with a transcript, the most incredible tape set we have, one of the most incredible I have ever heard. One of the interviews I did, three were done by Randy Engel, and of course you certainly want to get the tape set and get the information out, help us disseminate the truth. Our website, radioliberty.com, you can listen 5 hours a day to our programs or 4 hours a day on the internet. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back once again. May the Lord be with you.